Are we looking to God's word tonight? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we again have gathered ourselves in this midweek service as we call upon thee for guidance, direction, a blessing from above, as we would look into the word and meditate upon it, that we might apply it to our lives, and as we learn thy truths and thy ways, may we realize that it is for our good that we gather here and we worship thee, our God. Bless our being together, we call upon thee in Jesus' name. Amen. With the help of the Lord tonight, we'd like to read out of the book of St. Luke, chapter 10, verse 24 verses. After these things, the Lord appointed unto another 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the labor of harvest, that he would send forth labors into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which have seen the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. May the Lord bless the reading of our word. Let us bow before the Lord in prayer.
Dear Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this evening hour, and come, Lord, before thee with thanksgiving upon our hearts and adoration toward thee, Father, the high and holy God. Father, we acknowledge thee as Lord and know that thou art our Father which is in heaven and that there is none beside. We know that thou art the creator of all things, and we are sure of that, Father. Though the world would try to impress upon mankind, Lord, a different thought, Father, we know that thou art the creator of all things, and in this we rejoice, Father, and we long to dwell in the shadow of thy wing, Lord, knowing that thou art our helper and our Savior, and that thou dost love us, Lord, who love thee and who follow after thee, O Father. And yet we know that thou dost love all mankind, and thou dost desire that all would come to the saving knowledge of the truth that is in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, we just pray thee, Lord, that we would all come before thee in this spirit of worship and glorifying thee and magnifying thy name for all the things, Lord, that thou dost do, for thou art that good and great God, Lord, and our minds fully cannot understand how great thou art. And Lord, we admire thee and give thee the adoration that is due unto thee, Father, for all who thou art. And so, Father, we also would render unto thee our heartfelt appreciation and gratitude for all the things that thou dost do for us. Father, we feel ourselves so unworthy so often, Father, to receive thy goodness and to receive thy grace, to receive mercies and know that thy mercies are new each and every morning, and to know that we can turn to thy word and that thou dost continually feed us, and that thou dost see where we have gone astray, Lord, Father, after our own will, and thou dost gently call us, Lord, to return, Lord, to being followers of thee and returning to the sheepfold that thou hast called us to. And so, Father, we just thank thee for all the things, Lord, that thou dost do for us. We thank thee that the kingdom of heaven has come, Lord, even unto us, and that we understand, even from our early years, Father, thy great love for all mankind, and how thou dost desire us to be with thee in all eternity, and now how thou hast sent a Savior, Jesus Christ, to bleed and die upon a cross, whereby all our sins might be washed away, and that we might become clean and new in thy sight, having the robe of righteousness of Jesus Christ upon us. And so, Father, we give thee thanks for this. Father, our prayers would go out to those who know thee not in this evening hour, for those who have yet to make a commitment to follow thee, to those who are of age of accountability and who can understand thy scriptures in fullness and understand what it would mean to deny themselves, to take up the cross and follow after thee. Father, grant them grace, Lord, that they might realize that Satan is keeping them with lies and nothing more, Father, and he's only there to deceive. And we know that his deception can be strong, Father, but we know that thy truth is more powerful. And so, Father, we just pray thee that thou wouldst draw them with thy truth unto thee, Lord, that they might be able to escape the clutches of Satan. And, Father, for those who have made a beginning, those who have made a decision, Lord, that they want to no longer walk in the ways of this world, Father, but their desire is to walk after thee, Father, we pray thee that thou wouldst grant unto them forgiveness, that thou wouldst grant unto them strength, that thou wouldst grant unto them peace in their hearts, that thou wouldst grant unto them the grace to look to the light of thy word, that it might guide them as they walk on this new way of life. Father, so we just pray thee that thou wouldst keep them from Satan and grant unto them that they might commit their hearts in fullness unto thee. Father, we just pray thee for all of us, Father, that are gathered here, Lord, that thou wouldst help us one and all, Lord, to be overcomers. Lord, that is our desire, to be overcomers of any fears or doubts or any deception that Satan would bring our way, Father, but that we might continue after Thee with a heart full of faith and full of assurance, knowing that Thou art that true and living God, and there is none beside. And so, Father, we just pray that Thou wouldst help each and every one that is gathered here. For those who would have liked to have been here but could not, Father, Thou dost know all things, Father. We pray Thee that Thou wouldst reach out to them and provide Thou for them. We thank Thee that Thy Holy Spirit works in the hearts and in the lives of those who seek Thee, and Thy Holy Spirit is not contained by this building, Father, but it can work in hearts, but He can work in hearts, each and every heart that would seek after Thee. And so, Father, as we would consider this Thy word in this evening hour, how Jesus Christ was here and He sent out the 70, Father, that we might receive from this word, Lord, good direction and good guidance, and that we might be reminded of that which Thou hast taught us, and that we might be taught even anew as well. And so, Father, we just would look to Thee, both speaker and listener alike, Father, that we might be all blessed by Thee. And so we just pray Thee, feed us and bless us. We come before Thee with empty cups, waiting to be filled with Thy Spirit and with Thy doctrine. For this we do pray, and this we do ask, in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
As we read this portion of Scripture, we realize that it is apparent to me that the Lord has a concern for those that are lost. As He makes mention of the harvest truly is great, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore, Lord of harvest, that He would send forth labors into His harvest. And when I think of that, oftentimes we relate that to those that perhaps have gone into the mission field, have gone overseas or in South America countries, and they've gone there to be laborers in God's vineyard, to work there. But really and truly, that's only a portion, only a part of God's plan for His children. Here He sends, it says 70 that went out, He sent them out to the cities, because His concern was that His message would go forth while He was still here. He realized that He Himself could not do this alone, that He needed help, He needed those that would go before Him, and that they would propagate the gospel message, that they have an opportunity to turn and follow Him in His ways. However, they as they go, it says, he instructs them. And the first thing He does is warn them. He says, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Well, that would, to me, indicate to me that I'm sending you out there, and they're gonna accept you, or they're not gonna accept you. And the ones that don't accept you, you may be ridiculed, you may be laughed at, you may be mocked, you may even be stoned. They didn't know for sure what they was up against. But He warned them, there's wolves among lambs out there. And He perfectly warned them that whatever comes, it could happen. That would seem like, would have put a fear in their hearts and would say, you know, back off, or, you know, who wants to go as a lamb among the wolves? But you see, they didn't look at it that way. They took His advice. But He gives them more instructions. You carry no purse or scrip or shoes, and salute no man. And so He gives them these instructions to, you're to go there and preach Jesus Christ and the reason that He came. That was it. And you know, that's oftentimes the same way it is today. I believe that you and I, as believers in Christ, we have a responsibility, even as these 70 here, that we need to speak the word and talk about the Lord and His saving grace, His saving mercy, His love for us. And even though you're going to face ridicule, you might face laughed at, whatever it might be. It's no different today. There are men that won't accept this, and he even warns them. There'll be those that won't accept this. And he tells them what they should do if they don't. He said, go into these cities, and if they accept you, good. The man, it says, if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. So in other words, when you get to this place, and they seem to accept this message of Jesus Christ, then explain to them probably whatever he wanted them to say, whatever they needed to hear. Because you've got to understand something. You and I don't have this this kind of a problem necessarily this day and age. In our country, probably most households have a Bible or have some way or means of hearing God's word, radio, TV, church, whatever it might be. There are people that do hear the gospel message. Not everybody accepts it. Not everybody will. But there are we have a better chance that somebody's going to hear the invitation to come to Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so you see, this is what I believe his message was to be, to teach the people that he is the Lord and Savior. Matthew records this same similar situation. Only he says it was only that he sent the 12. But either way, some of them came back and they said, Lord, we had some of them we talked to and they wouldn't hear us. What should we do? They wouldn't regard it. They wouldn't follow us. And he said, should we do like Elijah and call for fire and consume them? And Christ said, No. You don't realize what spirit you're talking. You see, Christ came with love. He came with grace and mercy and truth. He didn't come here to destroy us. He didn't come here to devour us. He didn't come here to hammer on us and drive us like wild men or something. No. He came with love, with a loving, tender, merciful heart. And he wasn't about to send fire on anybody. If they didn't listen, that's their loss. But he was not here. He did not come to destroy men's lives because they wouldn't listen, they wouldn't hear. He came because he wanted to bring the gospel message, the saving grace that he has to offer. And so he warns them of this here. And then, and he says, you go into one city, he said, and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. So you see, and we got to realize and understand here that the Jewish people, and he was pretty much telling them to go into these Jewish cities, and they did have some inkling, they had some idea that the kingdom of heaven was to come. And so he was breaking the ice, if you will. He's bringing forth this message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, I'm here. I'm the Lord and Savior. Listen up. And this is what he was wanting his followers, his disciples, to go spread this gospel message. And I believe we have the same responsibility this day and age. Go and spread the gospel message wherever that might be. And then he gives them other instructions. He said, and the very dust of their city, which cleaveth to us. No, he said, but unto whosoever city you enter and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets and of the same and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth to us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So you see, there were going to be those. And I believe this is part of that wolves that was going to be among the sheep. There were those that wouldn't accept them. There weren't those that weren't going to believe any of these, what these disciples were telling them. They wouldn't accept it. And so he told them, they don't accept it. Here's what you do. You go out in the street and you tell them, you're going to wipe off the very dust of their city off because you have refused the kingdom of God. You have refused to hear the word. You have refused to accept. And this is the very same thing that we have today. Even the young people, even those that are unconverted, this is what you're doing. You're refusing the kingdom of heaven. You're refusing God's offer. You're refusing his call. And he said that they should wipe the dust off. In other words, have no part with you. Long as you want to resist it, long as you refuse it, and long as you deny you want to be with him, then the Lord will just leave it at that. Wipe the dust off his feet. You're on your own. So you see, he was encouraging them here that this is going to happen. And I believe we have it the same thing this day and age. There are people that just simply will not hear you. There are people that don't believe in God. There are people that don't believe in church. The church itself has created over the years, and over the different denominations have come to the fact that people don't even want to hear church. Maybe they got burnt because a lot of places, all they do is ask for money. A lot of places, all they do is try to get you to come, and they got all kinds of ways and means that would interest you. Things of this world have nothing to do with spiritual life, but they got all kinds of things to entertain you, to bring you in there so you'll hear the gospel message. I believe we gotta look at this as we gotta spread the gospel message. It's got to go out. The time is running short. Time is running out. Christ is coming back. We don't know when. It could be any time. We have people rejecting him, and he warns them. As he goes on to say, "For I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in the day of Sodom for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes." So you see, when the word came to Sodom and Gomorrah and it was burnt, they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't hear. It's going to be more tolerable for them than for those that rejected plan of salvation even today. That's serious. That's real serious. And when you refuse the Lord, when you turn him away, when you will not accept the way of salvation, it's going to be more tolerable for these cities. And we know what those cities were. They were evil. But in the day of judgment, it'd be more tolerable than for you to hear the word today and have been given an opportunity, have been called by the Lord, have been seeking your own soul salvation, and you flat out refuse it. It's going to be a sad, sad time. And he says it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. O thou Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. So you see, he lays it out quite plain and clear. They despise you, they're going to despise him, and they're going to despise God. And it'll be like this city, Chorazin. They'll be thrust down to hell. If you feel that you can run that risk of being cast into hell's fire because you simply refused the plan of salvation, that's risky. That's real risky. You don't know how long you might be here. None of us know. We might live to be 70, 80 years old. You don't know. But today is the day of salvation. Today is the call going forth. Today is the time to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he goes on and he says, The 70 came back, and they said, they was rejoicing. It says, the Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall be any means hurt you. So you see, he give them this power, and he'll do the very same for you and I. You see, we don't need to fear. What we need to do is trust him. And he'll give us that very same power that he gives these men to tread on serpents and so forth. He'll give us that power to overcome the enemy. He'll give us that power to overcome those wolves as lambs among them. But we have to trust him. We have to believe that he'll do this. And so they was rejoicing that they had this power. But then he says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So he kind of rebuked them somewhat. He rebuked them to the point that, look, you got the wrong attitude here. Don't be happy because you got the power to do this. Yeah, that's good. I give that to you. That's true. But rejoice in the fact that your name is written in heaven. That's the thing to rejoice in. Not that you have this power. Not that you can do so many things. No. It's that we have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that was his concern. That was his message. That was what he came for. That's what he was wanting them to teach the people as they went out, the 70, as they went out. This is what he wanted them to know. He'll give you power to overcome the enemy, overcome Satan, overcome your own will. But you got to trust him. You got to believe in him wholeheartedly, all your heart, soul, and mind, before that's effective. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. So you see, he upbraided them and tried to encourage them. But then he said, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. So he was thanking his heavenly Father that he was revealing this to those that would accept it. You know, you just have to be meek and humble. You just have to forsake your own will, forsake your own ways. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And if you think you're smart and you think you know it all and you got a college education and you're all this and that, don't do you a bit of good if you don't accept the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. You can have all the education in the world. You can have the best job in the world. It doesn't make any difference. That all is going to come to naught. What's the only thing that's going to be left and saved, the only thing that's going to be worthwhile, is the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is written in heaven. And this is what I believe he was, his main thrust of his message here when he sent that 70 out. And he thanked his heavenly Father that he give this wisdom to the, as he says, unto babes. And this is what it takes to become a child of God. As a little child, accepting simple, plain faith, trust in the Lord. All it takes. It don't take no college education. You don't got to be some sort of scientist and the brightest guy on earth. No. The very plain, simple plan of salvation. And this is what he wanted them to tell. That all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth whom the Son is but the Father, and whom the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So it's just a matter of trusting in the Lord. If you trust in the Lord, if you believe in the Lord, he'll reveal the Heavenly Father to us. We'll have a good understanding what it is to be a child of God. And so he goes on to say, and he turned unto him his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see these things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And you know, there are people in this day and age that never had the opportunity. Even the prophets, he said, would have loved to seen the Lord and Savior here. But he would give them, he said, blessed are the eyes which see these things that ye see. In other words, what you understand about me, what you understand about my teachings, talking about himself, what you understand about the plan of salvation, and what you understand about the kingdom of heaven is nigh. Blessed are you, because as babes, you've accepted this plan of salvation. It's simple, it's easy, but it's truth the way he brings it. Grace and favor, grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. And that's what he was sent his 70 disciples out to teach the people, to teach them to understand and accept the plan of salvation. And it's no different this day and age. There are men and women that you and I come in contact with have no clue what it means to accept salvation. You wouldn't think so in a country as we have, supposedly being a Christian nation, that there are such people, but there are. I believe you and I, as believers in Christ, have a responsibility to live our lives that would please and bring glory to our God, and that others might see our witness, our testimony, and would question, would want to understand what your life is about. You see, if we're not like that, people are not going to see Christ at all. Some people, you're the only one that Christ may ever see. They may ever see Christ in you, is just in you, by the way you live your life. And so this, I believe, is what Christ was trying to teach his disciples, to bring this gospel message to those that were around about. And it's no different today. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. May God bless these words upon our hearts. Amen.
Grant, Savior.
Jesus told his disciples as he sent them out that they're going to be as lambs among wolves. That's certainly it would scare someone pretty bad to think that you're being sent out as a lamb among wolves. That'd be very intimidating. But as they went and they did what Jesus commanded them to do, they came back rejoicing and saying that even the spirits are subject unto us. So how is that possible? It's possible because, as is written in the epistles, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So they didn't go forth in their own strength. They went forth in the strength of the Lord, though they were as lambs among wolves. And so they saw that the devils were even subject unto them. But again, as we go forth and as we would proclaim that the kingdom of God has come unto you by our lives, that we would simply remember this is not our word, this is not about our kingdom, but this is simply portraying or speaking forth, proclaiming the truth about Jesus Christ. And so as they were sent forth to a nation that should have known who Jesus Christ was, we are also sent forth to be a light unto Jesus Christ, unto a nation, as Brother Bob said, who claims to be a Christian nation. And so that is our objective, that's our mission, is simply to bring forth the words of Jesus Christ, to proclaim truth. And that would be verbally, but perhaps even more so the ability of simply being a Christian witness in our interactions in this world, at work, at school, wherever that might be, that we would be that Christian example and that we would show forth the light of Jesus Christ and by that proclaiming Jesus. And so that happened. And with the disciples, as they brought forth that message, they were rejoicing that their devils were subject unto them. But Jesus Christ says, don't be excited that the devils were subject unto you, but be rejoiced that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that our names are written in heaven. And so as we live out our lives and we proclaim Jesus through deed, through word, by showing the light of Jesus Christ, may we simply rejoice that our names are written in heaven. And may that be our objective, that as we interact with souls, that our objective would be that their names would also be written in heaven. But our responsibility is to proclaim Christ, and again, through word and through deed. But the results belong to God. That belongs to God. And there are some that will accept, and there will be some that reject. But ours is to be that Christian light, to be that a good example of who God would have us to be, and to speak forth the message of Jesus Christ. May he impress that truth upon our hearts, each and every one. Amen.